Hey everybody, how's it going again? This is Leo from Grown Faith Podcast, back with another episode. Back with the best co-host from the West Coast, Bishop. What's going on, man?
Nothing, man. Blessed, you know, ready to make it happen, bro.
Yeah, we last episode was the Prodigal Son. If you guys didn't get an opportunity to listen to it, take a look at it. Give it a listen. Hope you guys like it. And we're back with another episode. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, I think it's important to maybe give a little bit of insight as to, you know, the differences that growing up in homes with people that, you know, exhibit, you know, amounts of faith and practice those particular faiths opposed to homes that don't, and the effect that it has on the people, children, or anybody else who may be in the vicinity of that home.
And how did you grow up as far as like just getting straight to it? Did you have one of your parents believe a faith believer or anything like that?
So I didn't grow up in a home with both parents, but I think both parents still had their belief in from a Christian Baptist perspective. So there was the belief in God. There was the belief in Jesus. Right. So we that was still around, but the majority of my particular influences came from the elders in my family, my grandmother, my great aunts. And those are the ones who really taught me to the postures, to pray and to at least to seek in that way. Parents were young when they had me, so that wasn't really the focal point.
Got it. And as far as so you would say your most influential people in your walk of faith was your grandma and your aunts.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely. And it, just one great aunt, one and my one grandmother. Those were the one main ones, and I vividly remember the parts that they played in regards to just to seek God and things of that nature, and in that way, and from what they understood, you know, at that time. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you go to like church too? Because like I remember going, like I grew up. What was it? My grandma was a firm believer. Grandpa was like, "You go," kind of type. I'm gonna stay home on Sundays and watch the game. Mm-hmm. So that was more him. And I would say the same thing too. Actually, when I come at like the most influential people, would have to be like I would have to say my grandma. You know.
Yeah.
So it was the elders.
You know, it's funny, man. I think as you grow, right, as you get and you age and you experience more in life, I think those are the people that that have been through the most, they've seen the most, and you know, it's either going to take you down one or two paths, right? It's either, hey, I've seen some tough things, and I know that I only made it through because there had to be something. I don't know what you call them. I don't care what you call them, but it had to be something, someone that helped me get through. Or it's people that experience things in life and they like, there must not be a God because otherwise this wouldn't have happened. But I can say that as I got older, I did recognize that my pops did go to church at times. And it's one of my most vivid memories and one of the most vivid lessons in general. My dad was never the guy who could make it to places on time. Like he was always late to everything. But we went to church, and so when you get to church and the choir singing and so on and so forth, you can't walk all the way to the front, interrupt everything. So you sit all the way in the back. So we sat all the way in the back, and we would sit in the back, and that's where this homeless man, you know, would sit as well. And I'm young, so, you know, I speak or whatever the case, but I would always recognize my pops talking to him. You know, he would speak to him. It was no difference from him speaking to him, opposed to him speaking to anybody else in that building, that church. And that was my first lesson, I believe, in a most vivid way, outside of being taught to pray and from my grandmother and my great aunts. It was how you treat people. And I witnessed it in action. Doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter how you dress, doesn't matter anything. This man is here, just like we are here, seeking, you know, and so everybody's at the same space, everybody's at the same level. And I'm always grateful for that, to see that in action. Not a word was said, not like, hey, son, look at this. You see, son, this is how you treat me. It wasn't none of that. It was just me being observant and watching. And so I think, you know, just at the end of the day, whether you are saying it or whatever the case, it's your actions, man, that really bring the Bible, bring any holy book, bring any devotional bring any motivational speaking points to life. It's the actions, you know?
Man, I don't even want to go about the actions of my pops. That sounds a lot nicer.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, no, I was extremely blessed to have the father that I had, man, to witness someone who was a good person, right? Like, and that never escapes me to be grateful for what I've given, to just be able to say that a person is a good person, man. Like, and you see it repeatedly, and you know, and as we see, just like you know, I can say that about you. You are a good person, and I think that in that, you know, it's a rarity, man. You know, to be able to witness it, because so many of us experience the opposite the majority of the time. Whether you may say it's with family members, a father, or friends, or people you thought were friends, but it's rare to come across just good people. So yeah, it's definitely a blessing, bro. Definitely.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, when I was like preparing for this episode, I started thinking like, all right, what am I going to talk about now, actually, man?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was kind of, my dad didn't go, like, was friend. He was mm-hmm. he one of one.
Right.
Let's say.
Right.
And then my mom was, like, from that family, but it almost seems like maybe she grew up in it and was one of those kids that kind of ran away from it. Mm-hmm. And now that she's older, it seems like she's going back to the church. But I know my grandma was very strict, so I'm wondering if that led her to, like, say, like, hey, I ain't going back to church.
Right.
You know? But I don't even know how I was able to stick with my faith for so long, to be honest, now that I really think about it, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
I think I would say I had two people that didn't really have a strong faith.
You know, and it's interesting, man, because when we talk about life and we talk about, excuse me if you heard that, that's my chair. It's kind of squeaky. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, there's those influences, right? But there's so many people who either experience the opposite of what they are or what they strive to be. Mm-hmm. But they still make a decision somewhere along that way. They've experienced the other end. So I know for sure how bad this feels. I know for sure how bad people who operate in this space feel. And I can't help but do the opposite. Not even if in terms of like, if I have children one day, I want to make sure I'm different. Even beyond that, sometimes it's just the fact that this hurts so bad. I got to have a different walk. I got to be different, at least just for myself. So, you know, I think you may be a prime example of that. Somewhere you may not have consciously made the decision like, yo, my parents were XYZ, but you felt every part of that XYZ. And so you became something different. And, you know, so it's an amazing thing, man, the human spirit and will to change and be something.
Yeah, I would say I'm completely different, man, right. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You probably you know, and I also believe in individual purpose. You know what I mean? I believe that many people don't make it out the dark. Right? They can't find the light, they can't find the crack. Right? And that crack, you know, with a little bit of light to guide you towards the right direction. A lot of people, they don't. They can't get it. It's too heavy. And but some people, you know, and I think based off of how this world is, you know, very few people can do, you know, you know, in the midst of that, they become something different. They become, you know, a bit formidable, right? Because you have to be to get through. But now, as we all see, if you have people in your home who are the opposite of that level of faith or belief in something higher or bigger, we who may strive to be bigger, to be better, you know, still have this attachment to the ones who weren't that. And it's hard because, you know, I gave the example of my father, but of course a lot of my tumultuous parts of my life came from my mother. And so with that, you know, you look at it and you say, well, how is it that I can see the difference? I can see what needs to be done. I'm going to do it. I know how to be different. I know how to be better. But then you still have this unhealthy attachment that you have to work through with the people who clearly weren't adhering to any particular type of morals or laws and stuff like that. So it's hard, man. It's a this is a trip. This journey as a whole is a trip, you know?
Yeah. And I'm wondering, even just like, I wonder if, let's just say you didn't grow, you know, like there's kind of like people you've probably met in your life that when you talk to them, they don't have a parent and like a father or something, But then if they were to meet them, they're like almost identical. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that has like DNA plays a part in like your spiritual thing too. You know, like you might not have met them, but somewhere in your family, there was like maybe a spiritual connection with the higher source that passed down, you know, and mm-hmm. you're wondering why you're different. And it has nothing to do with your family or yourself, but maybe something from before. I don't know. I wonder. I just thought that right now. Hope I'm making sense with what I'm saying with that, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have, you know, there's countless studies and examples of nature versus nurture. But also just the influence of, I think, the soul. Many people believe, and myself included, that this world that we live in and this life that we live is just one of many, right? There is a continuation of the soul's journey. The acknowledgement that from many religions is that, you know, you do good, so then either you end up in a good place or you do bad and you end up in a bad place, right? It you know, is your heart lighter than a feather, right? But at the same time, there's less of an acknowledgement that, hey, what if the soul was enduring prior to this life? We can talk about it from what's happened after, but what about happened before? And I think there's so many documentaries, so many examples of past life, recognition and information. And so the things that you get too, we look at it from a genetic standpoint, like, okay, I got this from my family, right? But at the same time, just like when we see a child come into the world and they're a prodigy at like 4 years old with the piano and everything else, and the assumption is that this child just has the wiring put them in a position to where they just excelled at this particular instrument. But what if this soul had been working on that particular artistry for many lifetimes, right? So who you are, the things that come to you, right? And the things that you experience and the things that take you out of the mud or help you out of the mud that may be your family right now or at any particular moment could be your karma from another life, could be spirit guides or individuals who are trying to help you. It could be angels, right? It could be the support system in the unseen, I believe, is vast. I just think that we don't acknowledge much of it. So why would anything that's not acknowledged speak up? Doesn't mean that they're going to stop what they do. It just means that if you're not going to holler me out or shout me out, I'm going to just keep doing what I do and I'm going to just, you know, play my part. So you and the things that may come through, it may come from generations previous. People have so much ancestor veneration, right? People connecting to their ancestors connecting to them to power them through, right? But sometimes those ancestors can bring about negative things as well if you're not careful. So I think it's so many things at play. And that's what makes it so crazy, man, if you think about it. Like when you go to church or you go to a temple or mosque or anything like that, and a person is out here seeking, and they have these areas, right? They were talking about the areas of themselves that they need to work on. And you assume like, okay, I may have some traumas from this life. I may have started to indulge in these things, and I started to indulge in these things. And so this brought about a certain thing that I'm yoked with now. But what if some things you dealing with didn't even come from this life? You know, what if you dealing with some stuff that came before here? And what if your parents are too? And so it's hard, you know, when we look at them, okay, you're supposed to be this mature, understanding, formidable, honest. You know, you give these qualities to a parent because that's, you know, what we all view it to be. And then we realize as we get older, like, they just people. They just people trying to figure it out too, or not trying to figure it out, whatever.
I could almost guarantee that this is not the kind of teaching that your grandma or your aunts taught.
Absolutely not. Yeah, right. Absolutely not, bro. Like, you know what? Sometimes what it is that it's the. We start off on a journey, right? We believe whatever we get taught, right? We get, you know, we believe, you know, Jesus, and we, you know, we got God, and we got some angels out there, and you know, we operate from that perspective, and then life happens, right? And so now that's the thing that may shake you up. It may shake you from your faith. You may walk totally away from it. For me, pain had to push me into new areas of understanding, because when you're crying out, but nothing's coming back because your understanding is limited, right? You've boxed yourself in, or what you were given has taped you up. So your parents and your family, they box you in. They said, this is what it is. And then I started asking, you start asking other questions, and then it becomes an issue. Like, hey, well, where's the dinosaurs in the Bible? Or where's aliens at? Or whatever the case may be that may be on your mind that you may not find. So for me, the duration of the soul, the enduring nature of it, that it keeps going, and it'll keep going until it evolves. It helped heal parts of me because of loss, right? It was a pain, some pains, loss of my father that caused me to dig in a way and search in a way that I had never searched before, you know? So it's we all have these different catalysts, man. This is an interesting thing, you know, whatever's going to spark it for you. And then you run it, you know? And I guess that's the whole point. See what happens, you know?
And I would say for me, like, just because I didn't have any presence of, like, of a believer, I feel like, in my household, man, I don't know how, like, I was able to stay in tune with it, man, you know, or even grow up. But I just knew that there was goodness, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. and I never wanted to do, like, evil or bad, mm-hmm. you know. And I think I think I told you before what I saw or what I felt I saw or what I thought I saw, but I know what I saw. Mm-hmm. Was like someone being like, you know, under the influence of a spirit, you know, mm-hmm. and I saw the evil. So I just ran off. Okay. If there's that, then there's obviously the opposite of this. And, you know, that kind of just led my belief in something higher from right. there, because right. what I saw, and it was something else. So there's definitely something out there that allowed me that just kept me, like, reading, and then obviously not and imperfect, like, I'm not I read this book on faith or this and I kept my faith. No, it was in and out. Mm-hmm. But I know as older as I get, whatever little foundation was given to me, mm-hmm. however it was given to me, past life or family or whatever, it's kept me, it seems like it's going back to that.
Yeah. You know, yeah. You know. Most definitely, man. I mean, you know, you think about expansion, right? You get married, you have children, and, you know, then you may face things that you never wanted to face before. Like, hey, one day I'm not going to be here. Hopefully, when that happens, my children are grown. I got to see some grandkids, X, Y, Z. But it's like, who's going to look out for them when I'm not here?
Yeah.
Right? And so I think life will begin to give you certain things, certain gifts, right? And the key is, it's just like if a person is blessed to have a home, like a house, you know, or a car, or just a place to live, an apartment, whatever. And then what comes in is the fact that, wow, I want to be able to keep this, right? I want to protect this, you know? And, you know, I think sometimes for certain people, it's the increase. And then the fear of losing the increase sometimes, which we all got to work on, because, you know, you don't want to manifest certain things, but you realize that these gifts, not everybody has it, right? This understanding, not everybody has it. You can look at yourself and say, hey, I don't know exactly how I ended up here, but something must be working to keep me in a space of good, and look at my life and look at the good that's come from it. And so it has to be something bigger. It has to be something amazing, right? To love me when I don't even know your name, to look out for me when I can't tell you where you're at. I can't tell you much about you other than the fact that you're doing something for me, you know? So it's a beautiful thing, I think, when life, or source or creator or God or however person wants to put it, is operating for you and on your behalf through maybe a person who's not your parent, right? Like you said, it clearly wasn't your parents. So that wasn't the household, but look at where you ended up still. And so that's an interesting concept, right? We can look at it and say, well, is it better to have two faith-filled individuals in the household? And is that better for the child, children? But then we always hear about preacher kids, right?
Yeah, like, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, you know?
Right. Preacher kids, they ain't no joke. And it's always been that way. So it's kind of wild.
There was like even a TV show called like Preacher's Kids or something like that.
Yeah, it was.
And they were wilding out, man.
They wild. I mean, in a lot of these mega preachers, I mean, I've heard of one choking his daughter. I've heard of another one's kid who one of the preachers is in the news right now in a major way. But he one of his children is out here doing some crazy things, taking kids from people and stuff. So I
What?
think it's, yeah. So it's like you, where does it come from, right? You didn't have the example on either end, but yet you ended up being the man that you are. Yet you have other kids who that's what their parents do for a living, and then they ended up over here, right? So it's those concepts, and so it makes you wonder too. As much as the influence of your home is on your in your life, right? There's a point, I think, where your own soul, that which you really are, starts to whisper and say, "No, this is our path."
And I, like as you're saying, I feel like that's a words of encouragement to somebody, because I can guarantee you there's someone that's out there like, well, if I had my parents, or you know, if they were
Right.
this, or you know, so yeah, you can learn from, I guess, my experience, and
Yeah.
still yeah, man, find something that you never thought was out there just
Oh
because you
yeah.
didn't have it when you were a kid or whatever.
Definitely. I mean, and if that person is listening, or if that person does listen at some point, they look at the guidance that you are having to be led to a conversation with an individual who may have had a path like yours, but that person is still ends up in a space of saying, you know what, I believe that there's something more, and I'm going to do, or I'm going to align myself with the works of that energy, of that being, of that creator. Opposed to the opposite, right? Because whether you could take away, a person could take away devil and God. They can take both of those things away and just deal with human nature, right? There's still a choice. I had an English class. I remember my English 2 class when I was in school after high school for a second in junior college. And I remember he was like, the teacher was like, everybody who basically who doesn't believe in God, who's every atheist, raised their hands, right? You had like maybe half the classroom, which was a trip to me, because most of the people that I you know, I went to, you know, you go to schools and stuff like that. Mostly everybody had belief in God, right? That was just kind of a standard thing up to that point. So I'm in college, and I like half the classroom raised their hand, like, oh, okay, that's what's up. And then what happens is he says, well, why do you guys choose? And this is just an example from the teacher. Why do you guys choose to, or do you guys choose to do good, still be good to people, be nice, and so on and so forth? And then they were like, yeah. And he was like, why? And they were like, well, because just because we don't believe in God doesn't mean that we want to see other people suffer, or that we want to see other or hurt other people, or XYZ, right? And so if you strip everything down, you know, to its bare nature, you just have people making choices, right? And at some point, whether you have this influence of a God who is all good, all knowing, and so on and so forth, or you have this other side of things, it comes down to the person on the day to day. And some people love chaos. Some people love dissension. Some people love, you know, evil, right? We see that, and they will do it. And it's other people, something in them tells them, no, I love good. I like to see people laugh. I like to do good for people. I like to see that, you know, I'm a positive influence in somebody's life. And so, you know, these choices, man, I think that's the trip. That's what really this whole thing is about. Because after you get out your household, after you get from up under your mom or your dad or your grandma, now you're in the real world, right? And you're gonna come across people that's gonna make you want to doodle. You know, you're gonna come across people that make you want to say, hey, screw this good stuff. You know, are you gonna come across people to make you say, hey, I want to reciprocate that type of love. But on a day to day,
Rare
you're gonna go
ones,
up.
rare
Yeah.
ones.
Very rare. Or you're gonna go up, you know, but like I said, when you step out in this world, it's a you thing, right? And you know, we can see how wealth is the mentality for wealth and all these different things is passed down, right? So we can see how the influence of the parents can definitely you know, take hold and guide a person's life. But then you also still have the opposite. You'll have a parent teach their children about, you know, wealth and things like that, and the kid just go up there, I think I'm rich, I'm gonna just blow all the money. Parent got to spend so much money bailing the kid out of jail, XYZ, you know. So we and that's what makes it heavy. I think personally, I think it's the choices that you got to make every single day, and so many of them, you know. So
Man, I totally came in thinking I was gonna say something like different, and then as I thought about it, it was like totally, completely opposite of what I kind of had planned to speak about. But being okay, I'm married, you're married. Did you look for like a? Do you think that's important, or was that like a main? Like she's a believer. Could you have found yourself in a relationship with an atheist or anything like that, or someone that doesn't share any faith at all?
You know, to be honest with you, I think that if it was an atheist that did good, right? Maybe. But I think at the same time, eventually what starts to happen is common ground, right? You have many, many couples. There's a lot of couples out there. Some are Christian. Other ones are quote unquote, whatever woke is, you know, all these new things that people are calling themselves for, you know, stepping away from religion and looking strictly for spirituality. I think that you a lot of times you have to figure out where there's some understanding at, right? So if it's like you have a person who is atheist and a person who believes that there's a God, they may not believe what the nature of our reality is the same. They may not believe that we came from the same place. One person believes it's just nothingness when you die. The other person believes that there's a heaven. Another person believes that there's a next lifetime, whatever the case may be. But I think that the common ground has to be character. And if you are operating in a place, if we can do charity together, if we can try to help other people together, if we can, you know, try to uplift, then I think those types of things could have been possibly. But it's very difficult to find people who at the same time don't believe what you believe, but also will not disrespect it. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's the hard part. Like, because most time people are like, ha, look at you believing in X, Y, Z. So it becomes a mockery. Right. Especially if a person gets mad. So I think that that's the important part of the commonality of people who are, quote unquote, equally yoked. Right. Because if not, you do run the risk of things like that, I think. But but to build, to raise children and to I personally think that it helps to be on the same page. Mm. Right. And that's just because it's like, what are we going to tell the kid? You know what I'm saying? You know, such and such, you know, as happening. I may say, oh, it's a blessing. You know what I mean? I'm grateful. Well, who are you grateful to? What are you grateful? You know what I mean? You may be saying, well, this is just the circumstances that occur in life based off of different variables coming together and meeting at a certain point. Like you may look at it totally different. And then the kid is sitting there like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like those are my kids.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because I got a way of delivering a message and she's got a different way of delivering a message.
Gotcha. Yeah, see? So, I mean, so those things, like, where you have, you know, it's important to be able to be saying, to kind of keep the kids in the same place. But that's the whole point of they say, marriage too, right? Like, it's the best circumstance to raise children within, because you kind of know everything that's under that household under that roof for the most part. But you see amazing people come from so many different situations, broken homes, foster homes, living on the streets. You find people who have this endurance and this enduring nature in their soul to become what it is that they decided they want to become. And I think that's an amazing thing. I think that's the part of that's the part that really shows the part of God that's in us to create something that doesn't even look like it's possible. And so, you know, I think somewhere in the Bible it talks about if a woman has a husband who is like, dude is operating outside of the confines of what God may want, right? Or righteousness and stuff like that. And I think it says something to the point to where like she's supposed to just continue her journey and walk, that she may draw that man towards God based off of her righteousness and her willingness. And I think that's interesting because, like, first off, all the pressure is on the woman. It's like, this dude nuts, and I got to keep on going to church and praying. I'm like, thank you. But you have so many testimonies these days, too, that say the same thing. So many testimonies of people who were in and out of jail, gangs, and so on and so forth. And that's just because my mama was praying. My grandmama was praying for me. And it usually is the women, right? Because they put themselves before God in a vulnerable way that men, it's very difficult for us to do most of the time on a consistent basis. They can open up a lot easier than we can.
And also the level, I mean, not just for humans, but for, I mean, you'll see bears, like mama bears protect their babies against bigger grizzlies, like 2 times bigger. So I think there's something in a woman that is able to put herself on the back burner for the benefit of her kids or, man, I don't even care, like for their dogs. I see people fall in love with lizards, like women themselves are capable of like saying, hey, I could put myself second. Yeah. I think men are a little bit more, you know, at least some of the men in my life that I've seen like put themselves first. It's a little bit easier for a man to do that.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. I think that it's an amazing thing, you know, this conversation's kind of gone, you know, dipping here and there, but I think it's an amazing thing what women are capable of. Mm-hmm. We live in a society that is just now starting to see that, but I have seen it my whole life. Like I told you, the women who brought me to God, the women who have been used in my life even after that to guide me spiritually and such, like it, there's something amazing there that I admire and that I am appreciative of. But yeah, man, I think that it's something to be able to look at somebody and say, you know, I know that if I went plumb nuts, I know that my kids will be okay. I know that you're going to continue to try to strive. You're going to hold it together, right? Because most dudes, it's like, yeah, I'm done. This is crazy. I'm up out of here. This is weird. I'm not doing this, right? So. That's a hell of a character trait, man, and just an innate ability to be able to function, and even when you witness childbirth, if a person has, or the pain that they endure, and I think that that's also, you know, symbolic of that too. Like they can endure a hell of a lot more. but yeah, man, I think that when it comes down to this faith thing, and it growing, right? Hence the Grown Faith podcast name. But it continues, right? It continues because you, tomorrow, you may have an example of something that comes, whether by your wife or your daughter or whoever, somebody at work and whatever the case may be. And it takes you to another space in regards to your understanding of, damn, what is this? What are we really capable of? And what should we be striving for? You know, and I think that that's the continuation of this faith thing. But yeah, I think we all have something in us, just like we talk about their innate ability. You had an innate guidance, a compass that kept leading you back the right direction, right? And so the question is, where does this start? Is it the God in us? You know, is it understanding and wisdom that we've accumulated over lifetimes, right? Like what does it come from? You can always just be thankful for it, you know? Mm-hmm.
And I think a lesson I've learned, like when you said it goes back to character, even if my wife, I guess, didn't have like a faith-based background, but if she had character, yeah, I think that works, you know, because I saw my son, man, sometimes he's a little, I don't know, you know, with his mom, you know?
Yeah, right.
And then she's like, he gets that from you, but then one day, like I kissed her somewhere, like on the shoulder, hug her, and then he follows right behind and like does the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So I think that's more telling, not to my faith, but that was just being like loving and, you know, somewhere, I guess, by your actions, like my grandma's action, praying for all these photos and or whatever I saw. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actions will I guess you don't have to grow up with a house that has two faith-based people or even at all. You mm-hmm. know, I think if you're just brought up with some good people, mm-hmm. yeah, something positive will come out from that.
Think about it.
Or not like will, because some people might not have even a worse situation but like it can.
Right.
You know, it's totally possible that you can emerge yourself, emerge from that and being something a faith believer or just a positive non-faith believer, you know, but you can you can come out from that.
Yeah, man. I mean, think about the and I know you know there's a lot of people who are quote unquote religious, dedicated to God XYZ, but You don't see it in their works, right? You don't see it in their actions. You don't see them, you know, they ain't down to help people. They're not down to spend the time to really put the work in to develop themselves, right? Like, so you'll see people out here in this world, and this is a trip. Like, it really is, because I personally have seen more people who don't align with any particular type of faith
that are
be more authentic. Yeah, more straightforward and real, right? Yeah. And down to help, like, and so it's like, and that's what I meant. It goes back to earlier, like, it's just, it's something in you, whether you align in it with a God or not. It's a decision to say, hey, you know, I'm gonna do people this way, right? Because whether you believe it or not, or whether you believe there's other energies at work, right? Like, there's certain things that come out of you that will come back to you, right? There's certain energies that you put out, karma, call it what you want, what goes around comes around. But there's other things at work that may make a person say, you know, and it's just a feeling too, right? I just did something good. But back to what you was just saying about your son, and I think that's the other thing too. Like, boys especially, man, boys learn everything that they, in terms of treating, how to treat a woman, from their dad, how they see their dad treat their mom. You know what I'm saying? That's the given, until, like I said, something else may kick in. But it doesn't mean that they may not have trauma to deal with, or misunderstandings to deal with, right? So let's say a guy, he meets a woman later on in life and says, hey, you know, I like her, let's get married, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, he's sincere, but at the same time, you get in that relationship, you start realizing, like, the way you operate is dysfunctional, right? Because you didn't realize, because it was your programming, what you saw your father do with your mother. You're still a good guy, but you still have to work on these particular things. And I think that's the whole point too. Like, we have to make sure that our kids have less things to fix when they become adults. Unlike us, right? Like, you, there's things that you, damn, I may have this trauma from this. I may have this dysfunction from this. I got to deal with these things. And life is going to bring its own problems. So I think the key for parents is just like saying, hey, let's try to do the best we can to make sure that when you leave this house, when you grown and you're fixed in your mind, it ain't much you really got to deal with that you came from the past. You know what I mean? Cause I think it's that character thing is amazing. Character is big, and it's something that a lot of people will forego for the whole I'm religious thing, right? That's why so many people get deterred from churches and stuff. Oh, they gossip. Oh, they talking people. They doing this. Well, yeah, because they're not focused on character. They just focus on how they look to God, or how they look to other people in reference to God. And I think that that's what this podcast is trying to make sure that it does not do, right? It's an understanding that this is about the work, growing in your faith day to day, you know, and recognizing things that you need to work on in yourself, and do the work, you know, do the work. And that's something I have to do for myself too. You know, there's things that I've avoided as well. I got to do the work.
Let's go. Let's go. Yeah, totally took a different turn than what I thought we were going to be talking about, people. But hope you guys enjoy this podcast. Tune in next time. I'm not sure when we'll get it out, but we'll get one out in a few weeks. Hopefully we're bringing content that enriches your life. But once again, for myself, my name is Leo. That's Bishop.
Oh, my bad, bro. Yeah, that's Bishop. You know how we do it from the West Coast. You know,
one day we'll be able to do these things where we can do them at the same time. I can see you, and I think that would really help.
That's what it is. That would help right there.
I'm recording out of Missouri. He's recording out of Cali, and we're still able to get this, hopefully, podcast that helps a lot of you guys out. But thank you guys for listening.
Tune in next time. All right. Bye-bye.